And now he's turning up his nose and walking away from it.
Of course, he's a cat.
Cats are jerks.
That's not meat at all.
Bioman shows that cats are jerks.
Sexy lesbian jerks.
Why are we assuming that Farrah Cat is a lesbian?
Because it's sexier?
Okay, I just wondered if there was some sort of subtext to this comment.
The subtext is that she's a girl and her sidekick is a little girl. So, yeah, of course they're f***ing. That's how lesbians work.
3, 2, 1. And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
Nothing's worse than a stale douche.
Hey, Mickey.
She's f***ing a dog.
Paladin.
And with just a bit of leg hair.
Ken.
Yeah, actually, he gets beat off.
And Fort Max.
Myth confirmed.
Well, it's superhero time, the internet's best tokusatsu podcast about your mom. I'm XV. Shut up, Razor Saw. As usual, our cast of regulars, minus two. We have Hey Mickey, for the man. and we have Fort Max, for the cheese. Coincidentally, Paladin and Ken are both sick this week. Paladin had to leave us before the show started, but he was a trooper and tried anyway, a VR trooper. Meanwhile, Ken has lost his voice, but he will be interpreting the show in sign language for our hard of hearing listeners. And, of course, the rest. This week we have guests of Wingus once again.
I've got space in my pants.
You sure do. And Razor Saw.
That's my willy.
That's going to set the tone for the whole show.
Realize that was a bit more direct than what you guys usually hear, so...
It's refreshing honesty.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
But anyway, yes, I'm Razor Saw. I'm the guy who's heavy breathing, you can probably hear.
Without listening to the show. Okay, so not much news this week, but maybe that means we'll have a fast show this time. Of course, we didn't have any news last week, and that show ran almost 2.5 hours. Thanks, Oz.
Yeah, nothing to do with this.
Well, we did have a pretty awesome discussion about the Oz finale last week, so I blame that for the length of the show.
Yeah, I mean, not every day a show ends its run. Says the guy who wasn't involved in that conversation whatsoever.
And hasn't even listened to it yet.
Shut up.
Okay, why are you even here? Okay, so...
because for some strange reason you wanted to humor my desire to be on this show?
Actually, Mickey wanted to humor your desire to be on this show.
Well, you still went along with it, so hey, it's still on you, buddy.
Well, of course, you get to make someone look like an idiot.
I wasn't sure whether we were going to record Monday or Tuesday this week, so it was possible Fort Max wasn't going to be here to fill that role.
So I'm backup Fort Max.
Backup Fort Max. Man, who needs Power Rangers? We can just do this for an hour. What, Wingus?
I think you referred to me once as your backup Mickey.
That's entirely possible. This week you're our backup Ken, though. So you've actually been demoted. Sorry.
Aw. Blah, blah, Digimon, blah, blah, pretty cure.
You forgot the thing.
I'd make a better backup Ken than Wingus would.
No, you're our backup Paladin.
Okay, then.
Prepare Smite Evil.
Prepare to review bad toys.
I'll go get my joint combination Megazords.
Well, hold on for a little bit later. Okay, so in the news, there's Power Rangers Samurai Happy Meal toys coming up. When will that be, Fort Max?
I'm not sure, actually.
It's a good job. End.
So whenever whatever's going on now ends.
So, on some upcoming Thursday, there will be Power Rangers Samurai toys at McDonald's.
And they are just as nice as the Burger King Transformers toys.
Yes, I think our breakout favorite here is the Safety Spin Sword.
Which has no blade attached to it at all.
Yes.
Oh, so it's like...
it's just a spin.
Tsurugi's Heirloom Sword.
Kabuto joke.
I have no idea what that's a reference to.
Yeah, I don't either.
Razor Saw, that's another thing to do with that Kabuto guy.
Kabuto guy.
Except this is not the Kabuto guy, this is the Scorpion guy.
You mean that Kabuto guy who is Kabuto?
No, the Kabuto guy who is the Scorpion guy.
Oh.
With the sword.
He's the best guy.
That has
the
no
show.
Blade.
But he's a guy dressed as a bee. How could that even be possible?
Tsurugi is at the top of being awesome.
Bees.
For the bee!
Yeah, for the bee.
Bees.
Bees. God.
I think we're all a little drunk today.
I wish.
Me too. I wish you were drunk too, Mickey.
I thought he said a witch.
A witch is
a witch? A witch? Burn it!
Witch where?
So that's it for the news.
Well, Razor Saw claims that there's a title for the next Movie Wars. Which is, O's and Forza Megamix?
Megamax.
Close enough.
Yeah, Megamix is a Mega Man comic book.
If you say so.
Which I heartily recommend, actually.
Now I want a Riga to write something Kamen Rider. Look what you did.
Well, he practically did whenever he wrote Blues. But anyway,
Mega Man Nerd, could we?
X Kamen Rider, 4's, and O's Movie Wars Megamax.
Well, it can't be worse than Movie War Core, so.
Sure it can.
No, it can't. Shut up.
Maybe this time it'll involve a giant Kamen Rider who's made of ice.
No, I got it. It'll be a giant Kamen Rider made of space.
So he'll be completely invisible and not actually made of anything at all.
No. No, because this is, fiction, so space is actually a substance.
Yeah.
That he can be
made
of.
And you can breathe in it if you're Batman.
But, yeah, pretty much. Or if you're in Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
or in space.
Or in Sonic X.
Well, nobody cares.
Space on that show.
Nobody cares about Sonic.
Careful, they'll hear you.
I'm going to go tell the Sonic fandom, and there's going to be a whole lot of trouble.
Dear God, what have you done, XV?
And while we're at it, screw the ponies, too.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm checking out.
Okay, abandoned podcast. Abandoned podcast.
No. I have no reason.
What are they going to do? Hate the podcast more?
But yeah, I won't tell the ponies. I'll just rile up the Sonic fans.
That's good enough.
But don't worry, they won't come after you or anything. They'll just spend, like, an entire year arguing about it with each other.
Tell them we have a preference for Sonic that disagrees with their preference.
Yes!
It doesn't really matter what, just tell them that, and that should be enough to see them over the road.
Yeah, that'll probably be enough.
I love fandom. Fandom puts the dumb in fandom.
Get out of my head, I was going to make that joke.
It's my show, Wingus. Allegedly. It's my show, but Mickey runs it about half the time.
That's all I'm seeing on GIF Fusion that isn't about subtitles.
Well, Fort Max has one more piece for us. And Fort Max has one more piece for us.
Okay.
Fort Max?
Well, according to Bandai's Twitter, which, of course, we know...
Actually, isn't it the official Power Rangers Twitter that... Isn't it the official Power Rangers Twitter that's not necessarily Bandai, is it?
Well, oh yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. The official Power Rangers Twitter, which, as we know, is completely reliable,
of
is
course.
Now saying that Power Rangers Samurai new episodes will start airing in the fall.
Now, wasn't this the same source that said there would be classic Power Rangers episodes on Nicktoons starting in October of 2010?
That wasn't the Twitter account that said that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine, then.
When would Twitter ever lie?
Exactly.
Will Twitter not lie?
By the way,
of course, this is the same Twitter account that said the new episodes would be coming in the summer.
Well,
which summer?
Yeah, you know, in the South, summer and fall are basically the same thing.
Yeah, just one's hotter than the other. And it's usually fall.
Yeah, we have summer and less summer.
No, we have summer and still summer.
One of the few times I'm happy to live in the Midwest.
Barely.
Yeah, today we only had like 70 degrees. It was heavenly.
We had 64 degrees here.
We had rain all day long.
Gimme.
We had the best weather.
Labor Day, that should be a crime.
We had the best weather on this side of Nashville today. It was completely overcast. It was in the mid-60s, and it didn't really rain significantly during the day.
Are we seriously talking about the weather? What are we, like 70 years old?
We could talk about Total instead.
I blame Wingus and Razor Sauce.
Let's all go to Hardee's and get a biscuit while we talk about the weather.
Sadly,
man, I didn't bring this up.
Sadly, there is no Hardee's where I live anymore.
They're just blaming us because we're the guests.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, Isaka, blah, blah, creepy doctor, blah, blah, weather. There.
Relevant now. Okay, now it's related. Or relevant, yes. Those are words.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
So, what do you guys think of my stupid laugh?
It's stupid. Well, you said it. You know, this episode is going so much better than I saw it going in my head. Okay, so I think that's the end of the news. Now that we've had our weather report also.
But there's other stuff on Jeff Fusion. We could talk about J-pop bands and K-On and all sorts of things that have absolutely nothing to do with Tokusatsu. And
K-On still exists?
Yes.
The f***, man?
They're making a movie.
What is K-On?
It's that Japanese show by Kyo Ani that's about the girls with the music club.
Is it kind of like S Club 7 but for Japan?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of the 30 million things that's riding the coattails of Harui and will never die.
Except it's missing all of the allegedly good parts of Harui. Like the sci-fi
Harui,
part.
Is that how you're honestly pronouncing her name, Harui?
Yes, I am.
I'll pronounce it however I want.
Harui sounds like a Hanna-Barbera character or something.
I will purposely mispronounce it just to piss you off.
I'm pissed off. I'm amused.
You don't sound amused. You sound like you're about to burst out in tears of desperation.
Oh, yes. Fort Max, this week I love you.
I'm really not angry at all.
Must be the heavy breathing throwing him off.
Ha.
Ha.
Your mom's breathing is heavy. Everything else your mom is heavy. Okay, so episode talk, huh?
So, Wingus, yeah. You want to do Gokaiger for us?
What?
What? Did you watch Gokaiger?
Yes.
Then you should be able to talk about it for us.
Can I just say something?
No.
I'm on a podcast. Yes.
Well, I'm going to anyway. You know, I've actually watched Jetman, so, you know...
What?
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Good for you.
A lovely point.
So, Wingus, you want to get on the Gokaiger for us?
Yeah, well...
This week's episode of Ghostbusters.
Let's go.
Well played.
Ghostbusters?
No! Get out.
Ghostbus change?
Oh, sure, they have this episode right as they stop showing promos for the Ghost Ship movie.
Say what?
But yeah, do that summary or something or whatever.
Okay, let me just fly completely by the seat of my pants. If this results in me talking myself out of liking this too, I'm going to hurt something. Let me just set up the targets and put blinking lights on them.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
How could you possibly not like this episode? It starts off with somebody drinking, doing shots with God in a bar in heaven.
Okay, point.
Besides, my aim with this is not to talk you out of liking this episode of Gokaiger. So you should be fine.
He just wants you to summarize it.
And also hurt Razor Saw.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, we start in the bar where some old dude is talking to Lady God and playing poker or some card game, because I don't know crap about card games that don't have to do with monsters or anything. And
I think it's Go Fish.
I think you're playing Old Maid.
Now I'm just imagining Black Condor playing Yu-Gi-Oh! With God.
On a motorcycle?
Yes!
Yes!
Because, in the words of Paladin, there is no wrong time for card games on motorcycles.
Well, he does have a motorcycle.
That's the joke.
Way
oh,
to go.
Sure, someone finally turns that back on me, and it's freaking Fort Max.
That's embarrassing.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. The heavenly bar and poker.
Which apparently has bad booze.
Yeah, of course the booze in heaven's going to suck.
So then what happened?
I don't know. I think Forza kind of overrode all of Gokaiger in my head.
Oh. I can take over.
Come on, Wingus.
Please,
you can do
lend
it.
Give me a hand. Oh.
Well, we need one disaster for this show.
Blah, blah, bar, blah, blah, heaven, blah, blah, bad liquor, blah, blah.
Yeah, we covered that part already.
Come on, Ken, get with the program.
Sorry, yeah, this is much better than Ken on the spot.
Okay, then there's something about chasing down a dream because it's not a mirage on a map. And
screw it, I'm gonna cheat.
About time. Off to the wiki he goes.
Job.
Well, it's not about you, is it, Razorsoft? It's not about who can do the best job, it's about who can be the most embarrassed doing it.
You're watching the episode right now, Wingus, aren't you?
I'm skipping through it. There's a difference.
Yes, he really is the substitute Ken.
Okay, yeah.
All these notes I took are for absolutely nothing good now.
Give me your notes!
They certainly are.
You know what? Just to spite you, no.
Now you're getting with it.
I've learned from the masters.
Yeah,
damn right, Jeff.
Title, Eternal Wings, and we open with Dekigokayo getting his John Woo on a bunch of the blue guys that have the fancier names than the regular Gorman that I'm totally blanking on because...
Gorman.
Scorman! There we go. Thank you.
They have one more letter.
Oh, yeah, and then there's Galion, and we get into crazy centaur mode and hit things with swords.
Yeah, they have to remind us that that function actually exists on that toy.
The reverse.
Hey, I like crazy centaur form.
Yes, but it's not like
it's
they hardly
than
use Magi it.
Dragon.
Why do you people hate Magi Gokaiyo? I like it.
Because it sucks.
Can't get much more simple than that.
Well,
because I take one look over at my web diver display and look at Garyuan and see that there was a much cooler way to incorporate a pirate ship and a dragon.
Doesn't the dragon turn into the pirate ship on that one?
That has absolutely nothing to do with this.
But, well, just saying, you know, like, there's...
nothing to do with this at all.
They're two different things, dude. One lives...
No, they're exactly the same thing. It's a dragon combined with a pirate ship. It's exactly the same.
I thought the dragon
except
was...
Except one doesn't suck.
So then we jump to our villains being a little bit complacent,
Should we just spend 3 minutes talking about something that isn't even in the episode?
Of course, this is superhero time.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Talk about episodes? What are you talking about?
But yes, you were talking about how Gil has apparently reached some sort of zen thing.
Yes, because apparently being defeated is kind of relaxing.
Makes me think of the old comedic days of Zed and Rita.
Except
and then we get Red Boba Fett.
Boba Red?
Boba Tauros or whatever.
Yeah. No, Boba Tauros.
Okay.
I forget where I saw
that. Perfect.
I forget.
Yes, we'll go with Boba Tauros.
I think it was on Paladin's Twitter.
Yeah,
well,
he was
you
useful.
Know, if an Imogen appeared to an American person, there's a good chance that it would come out looking like a Star Wars character.
Yeah.
And all right, then, so Boba Taro shows up, Marvelous promptly craps his pants and flashbacks. We get to see how Boba Taro is completely bat crap crazy. We also see that the Gokai guns actually have ammo and not just are drawing a line between one explosion to another.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, what'd you think the smoke coming out of them was for?
Looks.
So
speaking of things not being fair, it segues into a completely not fair fight where Boba Taros promptly opens a colloquial can of whoop ass on each ranger.
Just, you know, like for those listening who are very confused, this monster of the week's name is Kaido or something.
Oh yes, that helps them not be confused. Yeah, he's Boba Taros.
He's Boba Taros.
He stabbed himself in the chest with his own sword to create a weak spot.
So Marvel was fine.
Yeah, that, you know, like, how does that even work? You know, like, if you get stabbed somewhere, if you get hit there, you explode later on.
Because it's a weakness.
Because it's Sentai.
That's pretty much how it worked for Akumaro, so I guess I shouldn't question it.
Besides, you know, if you hit a car with a sword, it explodes. So, this makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
Also, I noticed in the Henshin, Don was strangely into it because he, like, jumped up in the air right as he whipped out the Mobirds.
That's because he got laid last week.
Ew.
Well, no, he didn't, but Luca in his body probably did.
Gross.
So the Gokaijus go back to their ship and lick their wounds. Metaphorically.
Oh, you're missing the most important part.
Of course, he is.
Where the Gokai changed into Bioman.
And then they got slapped around.
They were totally useless as Bioman, yes.
So well, Bioman.
It was better than the Flashman Gokai change. And their cardboard weapons. That was Flashman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What was that, last week or something?
Yeah.
The last two?
It was last week.
And they did a couple weeks before that, too, or Doc did, anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of Doc, he then promptly hits his head on Navi while she's flying around and triggers a treasure navigation, which is strangely clear compared to the usual ones.
He triggers a treasure stroke.
Treasure stroke.
I gave your mom a treasure stroke.
No, I just, you know, like, wonder how you do, like, damaged the Navi's processor is going to be by the end of the series.
I wonder how damaged Doc is going to be by the end of the series.
Doc has a healing factor. He's like Wolverine.
A non-badass Wolverine.
Wolverine.
So he's the Decade Kuga version of Wolverine.
Yes.
Cougarine.
Cougarine.
Works for me.
Yes, let's just make this this reference even more of an in-joke that is impenetrable to other people.
Your mom's not impenetrable.
She wasn't last night.
Oh. Boom.
ha, ha. And then we go back to Bobataros, who promptly weirds everyone on the bad guy ship out.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this. You know, like, Damaris is the only one who, like, steps up to him. And this helps my theory that Damaris is actually a badass mofo.
No, that he wasn't stepping up to challenge him. He was stepping up because they're going to go f-
I bet you and I could have a lot of fun.
Ooh, let's head down to Earth and have some
fun. I don't want to think about Damaris that way.
Quick, let me talk about it some
this
more.
Cod piece.
So while Doc and Joe and Luca are wandering around, a mysterious man wearing black on a black motorcycle shows up.
I wonder if he was a Black Ranger.
No. He promptly tells Luca that he'll make every woman his, though.
Oh, yeah.
Joe puts his hand on the guy's shoulder, and he promptly freaks out.
He doesn't like Natto or other guys.
And punches Joe in the face and makes him drop his
ball. What the hell is Natto, anyway?
Yeah, what is Natto?
It's
a food.
Sticky bean stuff.
Oh.
The red bean paste?
Oh, yeah. Well, who the f*** likes that shit?
What's her face in Kabuto? We keep going back to Kabuto.
That's weird.
I blame Razor Saw.
I'm going to have to watch Kabuto before I come on the show again, aren't I?
We're never going to reference it again, so.
Don't worry, Razor Saw. You have plenty of time to watch Kabuto before you ever come back on the show again.
Aww.
I'm sad now.
Good.
The cell phone thief shows up to Marvelous I'm... And Guy promptly tries to pick a fight with Marvelous. Marvelous
like
can't do anything about. Meanwhile, Guy's looking around and thinks scene. Marvelous has completely lost his marbles because he can't see anything.
But I love that Guy is off in the background singing the theme to Jetman to himself.
Yes.
Yes. That was great.
Yeah. That's the only time we hear that awesome theme song in the entire episode. Travesty Man.
You knew we had to do something to f*** this episode up.
Jetto man.
Shut Let's up, I go, like Toby Dose.
Yes.
Is Paladin back? I hear the birds again.
That was a very bad attempt at cricket noises.
Oh.
Wait. Anyway, I hear Paladin. Mary's... Wait, I hear Paladin coming.
Oh, we're mean.
This mysterious man in black, who is not Johnny Cash, continues to trash talk Marvelous.
Man, Johnny Cash crossing over with the Gokhydra would have been awesome, though.
Shit, yes. So, Bobataros steals Marvelous's Mobarate, too.
No, it wasn't Bobataros.
No, man in black does.
That's right, yeah, sorry.
Yuki Guy.
Yes.
Bobataros is not Guy.
Right, Guy steals a second Mobarate, Marvelous.
Yeah, he is neither right. Guy.
Marvelous goes to trim some trees and runs into Yuki Guy again, who promptly gives him this very odd little pep talk about telling him how much he sucks right now.
And that how he shouldn't sense. Even try to contact any of the other Jetman.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, I've watched Jetman, and that's actually... something he does a lot, tell other people why they suck.
Well, so do I.
You know, because you know, like, there's like one episode where White Swan is all depressed and he basically tells her she sucks.
He sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Well, oh, Mickey, don't you remember?
This is also the period where he's hitting on her.
Mickey, were you on your vacation when we did the Jetman episodes before?
I didn't watch them. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if you would have watched that, you would have already seen how awesome Black Condor is. sometime around this point, Guy Ikari is telling the others that, telling them what happened to the rest of the Jetman team, and that there's some mystery around Black Condor's condition.
No, actually, he did that right when Navi got her,
Well, it's
of the week.
Yeah, it's just important to mention that part.
Yeah, he doesn't actually tell them that. Oh yeah, one of these guys died until.
Well, Guy doesn't actually seem to know that Black Condor died. Is the point?
Right.
So apparently, he doesn't know everything about the Super Sentai.
Well, you know, the ending was kind of ambiguous.
No, it wasn't. He's dead.
Well, people still thought about it on the internet.
Of course they do, because it's the internet. That's the whole basis of the Sonic fandom.
Shut up.
I had to get that one in there again.
Marvelous tries to follow Guy, Man in Black Guy, and loses him, but finds his tombstone, and then runs into the rest of the Gokaigers when they're like, oh crap, he's a dead dude.
The tombstone with the English on it.
Yes.
And
the tombstone
Jetman
with English bourbon and cigarettes on it.
Yes.
Well, of course, the bourbon and cigarettes was, of course, from Red Hawk. The instant ramen was from...
Yellow?
No, blue.
The vegetables were from Yellow.
And the flowers, of course, were from White Swallow.
Swan.
White Swan. Yeah, it's Yellow Swallow, White Swan.
No, it's Blue Swallow.
White Swan, yeah.
Yellow's an owl.
Yeah, Yellow's owl.
Yes, he's an owl who hits people with a rock.
Well, that's exactly how it works in nature.
That's a hoot and a half.
Raita is basically the Super Sentai version of Killer Croc.
I threw a rock at him.
It was a big rock.
But no, what's actually more awesome about Yellow Owl is there's an attachment for his Zord that carries a bigger boulder to throw at the giant monster.
And there's always a big boulder for it to grab somewhere on the battlefield.
The same big boulder.
I'll fix it.
Well, you know, Tokyo's naturally full of loose boulders.
And quarries.
Much like your mom.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, of course.
No. Your mom's a loose boulder. Emphasis on loose.
And full of my boulders.
Stop talking about my mom.
Speaking of reused sets,
let me make my stupid joke, and then we can go on.
No.
Should have been let me make my stupid joke now.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to be doing this summary that I prepared for.
I love this episode.
Speaking of reused sets, we cut to Yuki Guy standing under the same overpass where...
Everything else happens.
Yeah, I forget
didn't
which...
Didn't we see that overpass in Double at some point?
And Deno.
And O's like every other week.
And at least one episode of Decade when they were in Agito's world.
So basically, overpasses are a multiversal constant.
Well, I think it's more that Japan is about the size of my living room. So you're out of places pretty quick.
That's, how big is your living room?
That must be a small living room.
I was going to say, how big is it? It might actually be bigger than Japan.
So yeah, Yuki Guy picks a fight with Bobotoros and a bunch of Gorman, and
he transforms just in time for the others to show up and see him do it, except for Guy Ikari.
Yeah, Joe realizes that he's doing this to protect the rest of Jetman.
Sure, why not?
Because they've all moved on with their lives and don't need to be dragged back into this.
Yeah.
Makes sense to
Marvelous
me.
Has an epiphany. Marvelous realizes he should quit being a wuss and goes to get Yuki Guy up.
That Yuki Guy.
And
back
Guy,
up the other guy.
And Yukari Guy keeps getting shoved out of the scene so they can use five-man teams.
Yeah, they don't
I was actually
ranger,
disappointed.
So Guy gets jobbed. Then the team turns into Jetman, and Guy, for some reason, thinks it's actual Jetman.
Guy is special.
Well, you know, Jetman was, like, super popular, and, you know, like, cast a shadow on, like, all the other Sentai series until a Time Ranger showed up. So I think it was a bit of a nod to that.
Or Guy's just kind of stupid.
Guy is our special spastic friend.
He's a fanboy.
I think he ran into another drive-by car. Which reminds me of another theory once we get to the preview for next week, but anyway.
He got hit by a flying bird man.
Navi's running into him when we're not looking.
Navi's driving her car mode around.
Oh, crap. Navi transformed into a car.
That wasn't a dream.
Yeah, actually, little known fact, that day that Navi was out in the park with those girls, on her way back she was driving the bus that hit Guy in the first place.
You know, like there was that whole flaming bird finisher.
Was that Jetman or was that made up?
That was in Jetman.
Okay.
It's a reference to Gotcha Man.
Gotcha, man. Had to.
But that's pretty much what the combined jet mode Zord's finisher looked like.
They never did it in costume form.
You're the one who says that you've watched the series.
Yeah.
That wasn't a question.
You tell us.
That wasn't a question.
It sounded like a question.
Well, it wasn't.
It's like Dynaman's finisher, except cool.
Dynahuman pinwheel!
Form of a bird!
So,
okay, I have a confession to make. I've only seen 6 episodes of Jetman.
And you want to do this episode summary.
So 6 episodes. So let me guess, the CS Central subs?
Yes.
You mean the ones that are, okay, this is what...
Yes, the ones that are entirely made up. But I really liked it, and I really look forward to this episode. Just shut up, all of you.
I'm very happy that we've been able to ruin it for you.
We couldn't ruin it for Wingus, we could ruin it for Razorsaw.
See, Wingus, I told you we weren't going to ruin your enjoyment of this episode.
So then we go to a really weird-looking set of stairs, and they see... Black Condor off, and he fades away, and Guy laments that he never got to see him.
Oh,
that's okay, Guy. You'll be dead pretty soon, and you can see him then.
Then he goes back to heaven, loses a hand of cards, and plays the saxophone.
No, he wins the hand of cards.
He does something with some cards, and he plays the saxophone. There.
He woos God with his sexy saxophone.
The lesson of this episode, God sucks at card games.
But loves the saxophone.
Who doesn't?
Well, you have to remember, too, that Guy is a known card cheat, so...
No wonder he tried to hit on Luca.
Yeah, they would have been perfect together.
Wait, so he played cards with God and cheated?
That's what I'm assuming, yeah. Because he's, you know, Yuki Guy.
Well, of course,
he's Yuki
Guy.
Black f***ing Condor, that's who he is!
Cheats God at cards, plays the saxophone, drinks a lot of boobs, living the dream.
Black Condor's f***ing awesome.
And he smokes, don't forget that. That's pretty important in a kid's show.
Yeah, you know, like, I just have this question about his actor. He doesn't look like he's aged a day since...
That's
Jet
because
Man.
He's dead!
The actor isn't dead!
You can't prove that. Voodoo.
I'm saying that Black Condor's actor is a witch.
Burn him.
He's trendy.
No,
He's Black a witch like Dante Basco.
No. Black Condor's actor is the Japanese Dick Clark.
No, Dick Clark visibly ages. He just doesn't die.
He's a lich.
Well, yeah. Dick Clark didn't age for...
He didn't age until he had a stroke.
Right.
But basically...
He got a good 25 years out of not aging before he had his stroke.
But basically, Dick Clark, lich... Black Condor's actor and Dante Basco, witch.
Somewhere Johnny Cash fits in there.
Johnny Cash is just...
Oh, your mom fits in there.
Damn it, Mickey, I was going to make that joke when Razorsaw shut up.
So never?
Yeah.
The moral of the episode is Black Condor did your mom.
There he you did go. Say that he'd make all women his.
And your mom is almost equivalent in mass to all women.
Unfortunately, it was after you were born, so you were not Black Condor's child. I'm sorry.
Damn!
Aren't we all Black Condor's children at heart?
Oh, no.
Then we go back.
Well, how about this? We all, at some point in our lives, want to punch a Red Ranger.
I'll give you that one.
I think you'll say Red.
Oh, dang it.
Well, that's the Red Ranger we all want to punch. Go say Red.
Not Mac?
That's a close second.
Besides, you'll break your hand if you try to punch him in the face. He's made of metal, you know.
He's not a robot anymore.
Sure he is.
No, at the end of Overdrive, he becomes human.
You're saying you actually paid attention all the way through Overdrive?
Yes, I watched all of Operation Overdrive, and because I suffered so much, I'm not letting anyone forget it.
I can respect that position, but you're a fool for watching all of Overdrive.
There was nothing.
No, he just watched the first six episodes.
There was nothing else on.
You could have watched, like, That's So Raven instead.
That shit was pretty f***ing Raven.
I
on a scale of 1 to Raven, it was right up there at the Raven scale of things.
I would rather watch Overdrive than That's So Raven.
That's not a very Raven thing to say. Decidedly un-Raven.
Who did that?
Oh shit. Guys, look what time it is. It's space time.
Space time!
Wait. Missile o'clock.
Space time.
Jim? Oh yeah, a new Kamen Rider show started. Yeah. Just a second, my dad's bugging me.
So we hear.
Space time.
Yes, while it's quiet for a moment. Space! Yeah!
Friend, hi.
Okay. Yeah, Dad. Oh, okay, I will.
Good night.
Bye.
Keep going now, okay?
Well, that was embarrassing.
Tell your dad that I slept with his mom.
His mom's dead, XV. She died of cancer.
Even better.
So how about that rocket head?
Alright,
we don't know
for...
why it's shaped like that.
Yeah, we all figured out it was a rocket like 2 months ago.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it being shaped like that to protect that pompadour of his.
Yes, it's formed around the shape of his hair.
Yeah, it was rocket shaped on Kengo's readout in the rabbit hutch.
That's just a really smart computer, is all.
It's a smart computer that can see the future.
It's That's a weather why it's computer. Smart. It predicts the future.
So they put a weather computer in charge of the OS for a Kamen Rider.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Themed around space.
Where does the Voodoo Shark fit in?
Yeah, see, they put in charge of the space Kamen Rider because it's a meteorology computer.
Voodoo Shark is one of the extra switches.
Boo!
So anyway, the episode opens. The episode opens with a low-budget ripoff of Apollo 18, as two space-suited figures are fighting on the surface of the moon near an exploding lunar habitat compound thing over the contents of a strong box.
That's my launch.
No, my Twinkies were in there.
My Twinkies!
Kang!
You ain't getting my spam sandwich.
A set of red eyes glow through one suit's visor, and the glowing eye astronaut throws his opponent against part of the structure. And he bounds away toward the escape vehicle and blasts off to a space station orbiting the moon. The other astronaut, seemingly stranded now, looks up to space, holding a sparkly button in his gloved hand, and quietly speaks the name Kengo before being engulfed in explosions.
You know, that makes sense that they'd fight over their lunch because of all the other food there's a robot.
Sad
trombone. I'm just glad none of them were exclaiming, "Hey, who turned out the lights?" That would be upsetting.
So, 17 years later...
That's quite a jump.
17 years later, you have some guy clicking a switch back and forth.
Yes, crowds of teenagers are making their way to the most horrible school in Japan, or so I gather from the hideous uniforms that they are forced to be seen in public with plaid pants.
Yeah, what is up with these Japanese uniforms? Japanese uniforms normally look pretty boss, with the high collars and all black, or, you know, sailor
Doc
outfits.
Doc designed these.
Yeah, only Doc has the style to pull off plaid pants. I'm sorry.
Okay, so...
The thing here is Don is the doctor.
Well, they call him Doc anyway.
He wears
anyway.
Plaid pants now. Plaid pants are cool.
Man, Don being the doctor is so played out.
Awesomely played out. Give that man a fez.
Okay, so...
He could totally do a fez.
Yes, Forze. What did I miss?
If I can't
reference Doctor Who,
you haven't
missed anything aside from Mickey's power going out for a bit.
Okay.
Okay, so one particular horribly uniformed student is walking along, flipping a switch in his hand, as a girl runs up and tries to give him a sealed envelope. Clearly, he's won the heart of this girl who now seeks to confess her feelings to him.
So, of course, he throws it into the river.
Well, it's actually the canal that Shotaro fought Heat Dopant in last year.
And also the same canal that Inoue likes having people thrown into.
But instead, this time, somebody jumps into it.
Yes.
On their own.
But the horrible asshole who threw away the confession letter is Kengo. Probably the same one the dead astronaut was talking about. But suddenly, he's confronted by someone...
Think?
He's confronted by someone with even worse fashion sense than whoever designed school uniform.
The Fonz.
No, the Fonz looked good. This is just ridiculous.
That's my new favorite way to translate Uchukita.
Besides, Fonzie never wore flaming sneakers.
He should have.
And his leather jacket wasn't half cut off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not really a leather jacket. It's a school uniform. He's half cut off.
And it's in the wrong color, so it's not really a uniform anymore. But anyway, Flaming Shoes guy tells him off for a bit before leaping off the footbridge down into the canal. Because, hey, if Joker could do it, right? And so he begins hunting.
I'll show you, Yurimeshi!
That's perfect.
Hiro Yui, Forze hates your guts.
What?
In the first episode of Gundam Wing, Hiro Yui tears
a girl. Okay, stop talking.
I'm making fun of it.
So, Fort Max, how many months have you been waiting to be able to tell someone that instead of getting told it yourself?
18?
I haven't really been waiting for it at all.
Well, like, I try to be part of the group. I try to rag on things, and this is what happens.
You know what else is great? Razor Saw is actually successfully talking over Fort Max. I don't really know who to root for here.
It's a match made in heaven. I asked about this tonight.
What?
Nothing.
Well, I'll just hear it in a recording later.
Screw you guys.
So Kengo is amazed by the stupidity of the flaming sneakers man and walks away still flipping his switch. I think we're all a little bit amazed by his stupidity. So after the intro plays, we're introduced to the class, kind of.
Well, of course, with the theme space, the final frontier.
Yeah.
These are the voyages of a guy in spandex.
On a dirt bike.
In space.
who does a shout out to E.T.
Yeah, I really hope we find out that Shroud gave him the motor, the dirt bike. But she showed up like in a spacesuit with her hat on top of it.
And the visor, no, and the helmet covered with the those bandages.
Yeah,
look, comedically oversized sunglasses. It is space Shroud.
Look,
she's in the blue area of the moon.
Look.
No, she appears. She appears during a blue moon
to be developed in a burning forest.
So anyway,
she developed rider technology there.
So anyway,
rider technology in space.
We're introduced to the class, sort of. Really, it's just Kengo talking to a girl by the hole and needing Forze, while robot food scurries about unnoticed by everybody else.
Yeah, this classroom's infested by cartoons.
Gintaro hasn't showed up yet.
Just then, a new student is admitted to the class. And he introduces himself as Gintaro and proclaims he wants to be friends with everybody. And so Gintaro quickly earned his place as the class fool.
That's how you can tell that he's not an Inoue character.
Okay.
He's not a jerk.
Yes.
So conveniently, there's one open seat next to Kengo and that girl, so all the main characters can sit together. And even more conveniently, Kengo's friend is actually Gintaro's childhood friend, Yuki. Isn't that convenient?
Somewhat, yes.
Before sitting down, Gintaro produces a soaked envelope, which he slams onto Kengo's desk.
You've got mail.
Yes. And as if Kengo needed more proof, this guy is a complete tool. Wait.
Gintaro's the tool?
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah.
No. Kengo is the tool.
No, Kengo is the ass.
Synonym for ass is tool.
No, they're two separate things that fit together perfectly.
Thank you for articulating the joke I couldn't quite put together. Gintaro says
that
he...
Let the kick begin.
Yeah, you know, I was actually trying to set that up.
Gintaro says he and Kengo are already friends, which seems to lack any logic at all. But Gintaro figures if he can befriend such a colossal asshole, he'll have no trouble being friends with the rest of the school. Which actually kind of makes sense to me.
Too bad it doesn't really end up working out that way.
Yeah, Kengo kind of gets fed up and excuses himself to the nurse's office. And Gintaro
he's going to be friends with him just to spite him.
Yeah, I like that part, too. Because that's something I would do. I can relate to this character.
Isn't that what you basically already do?
Well, that's pretty much the basis of this podcast. To spite
okay,
you.
Then.
Anyway, Gintaro has no idea what kind of dicks the school is full of. Kind of make me miss bitch school.
Oh, she's coming.
Well, no, there can't be a bitch school in this school because we already have a bitch school in the last series. Can't reuse the name.
And sadly, it's not the same school.
Yeah.
Are we sure this is Kamen Rider then?
Not yet.
And then after this,
so
three
at
monsters
lunch,
walk around in out-of-focus areas with lights on them. The same ambient lighting used by Shroud.
Anyway, at lunch, Gintaro walks the cafeteria and takes a seat at the empty table, followed by everybody flipping their shit. So Yuki explains...
This is the most westernized Japanese high school ever.
Yuki explains the school's caste system, which Gintaro calls retarded. Speaking of which, here comes the cheerleaders.
Zing.
Head bitch calls Gintaro trash, which his limited English understanding causes him to mistake for a compliment. The jock squad then arrives, and the captain of the football team calls Gintaro garbage. But Gintaro's not garbage, he's trash!
Ha ha ha,
does anyone else
barriers.
Think that the head football guy looks really weird?
Yeah.
He's half American. His actor is half American.
He is, okay. So it's not just he's just strange, he actually is mixed, okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't really explain his gigantic nostrils.
Nothing explains gigantic nostrils.
Yeah, you could drive a Volkswagen through them.
So in due course, Gintaro ends up taking on the whole football team in a lunchroom scuffle. And it sadly lacks the purposeful throwing of any food. How can you have a fight in a lunchroom without a food fight happening?
There's a guy with painted nails laughing at him the whole time.
And that's funky
Philip
hair.
From Double.
Kentaro's doing surprisingly well in the fight, but he's forced to surrender, as one of the jocks has taken Yuki hostage. So he gets dragged outside to be roughed up. The beating is cut short, though.
Well, first of all, the entire time he's getting beat, he's getting his ass kicked, he's still trash-talking.
Of course, he's Gintaro.
He's the protagonist.
But then they finally hit him so hard that everyone...
He's the hot-blooded protagonist.
They finally hit him so hard that everyone starts seeing stars. Except, no, that's actually the yummy, or dope, Zodiarts. Yeah, we're gonna stick with that one. So, as the jock squad runs away, Yuki and Gintaro are left to their own devices. Which apparently involves Gintaro grabbing a metal rod and trying to pummel the monster. But it's not very effective.
You can see the moments where that prop turns from a real pipe to something made of plastic.
That's not plastic, that's paper.
Paper and plastic, whatever.
Fate favors the bold!
Except and spicy.
It doesn't!
Fortune favors the bold and spicy.
Or zesty. The bold and zesty.
Or the spacey.
Fortune favors the cool ranch.
I'm hungry now. Look what you do.
Yeah. So, Gintaro gets knocked out of the fight, and Yuki's about to take a big energy blast, when suddenly a robot appears.
How many times within 5 minutes is Yuki about to be shot before something leaps in between her and the blast?
Well, just once so far.
Twice.
I'm going to go with once. What were you saying, Mickey?
It's Bumblebee.
Actually, it's Kengo operating a junior mobile suit, or rather the Powerdizer.
It's an Powerdizer! Sounds like Andromon.
The engagement is brief as the Zodiarts monster takes off from the unexpected challenge and getting thrown into a wall. Kengo's exhausted from the brief operation and says that all he did was delay its attacks a bit, not defeat it.
It was so exhausting pulling those levers.
Well, it probably doesn't have power steering.
It's not going to be easy for him.
You ever try to drive a car without power steering?
Oh, sure, he can make Gundam references.
So, without regard for Gintaro, Kengo and Yuki rush off to a storage building and climb into a locker, through which is a magic portal to someplace else.
Oh, what?
Yes, they've created teleportation and portal technology and put it into a locker instead of sharing it with the world.
They're heading to their secret base in Narnia.
With less gravity.
Yeah.
Space Narnia!
Aslan's floating around in space.
Well, look.
Space lions.
Setting.
Space lions, this isn't Lost Galaxy, Wingus. Try to keep up.
Aww.
So Kengo goes to activate Forze, grabbing switches and installing them on the driver. Yuki says he's not in a condition to use Forze, but Kengo doesn't know what choice there is, until Gintaro comes and swipes the driver out of his hand.
Yoink!
And then walks off.
He managed to follow them and hear the whole exposition about Zodiarts and Forze and only thing that can stop them and whatever else they said.
But he didn't wait to see how the belt
worked. Yeah, he's willing to do the work himself, but not read the manual. Back in class, their teacher notices the three missing students, but doesn't have much time to be irritated at them when a loud commotion is happening outside. The Zodiarts thing is attacking the school again, with very convenient timing. Coincidentally, at that very same moment, Kengo develops severe pain and a ringing in his head. That can't mean anything, right?
Tumor.
I assume it means Voldemort is near.
He has a bullet in his head.
Well, whatever.
He's 1 million yen.
No. Gintaro is Date, not Kengo.
Whatever the cause, Gintaro uses the moment to run off with the driver to go fight. And as he arrives in the school's hallway to confront the monster, Gintaro only then realizes he has no idea how to use the Forze system.
So he shakes it like a can of soda.
Maybe it will explode.
And puts it at the monster like a gun.
Handily, Yuki went after him, and the monster waits long enough for her to demonstrate the transformation poses and activate the switches for Gintaro. It's space time!
Yay!
Gintaro starts trying to fight inside the school, but between him and the monster, all that's getting busted up is the walls.
Yeah, I have to wonder, by the end of the series, how much is the school going to spend on repairs?
I think tuition's about to go way up.
Yeah.
Time to cut arts and arts.
After
football
a crash,
team doesn't need a marching band.
After a crash into the boys' locker room,
but
Yuki
it does
tells,
need a cheer squad.
Yuki tells Gintaro to use the rocket switch and take the fight outside, which just causes more damage to the building.
After we see a whole bunch of naked teenage boys.
Well, they weren't as naked as Nazca was.
Thankfully.
Once outside,
no one can be as naked as Nazca was.
Once outside, Gintaro accidentally delivers a rocket-powered punch while trying to get the damn thing under control. Eventually figuring out to turn it off, he tries the next switch in the line. Launcher! And shoots a salvo of missiles at the school. This is going great.
I just want to know whose bright idea was it to make it that whenever he stomped his foot, the missiles launch?
Well, you don't want a complicated system to control the missile launch. Otherwise, some idiot won't be able to use it.
Right. Instead, some idiot will just shoot it off whenever he takes a step.
Well, look, the foot goes into the top part of it. So the only place left for the switch is the bottom part of the boot.
Yeah.
So he also ends up setting it off whenever he puts it on.
Well, he doesn't have to put it on. It forms around his leg.
Out of thin air, yes.
No, out of energy.
Shoes would shoot missiles when I put them on.
It forms out of burning justice.
Awesome. Tokusatsu, contributing to the heat death of the universe since 1970s.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Haven't we all been doing that technically?
Yeah, but they've just, you know, like really accelerated it.
So, switch number 4 rings. It's Kengo calling by way of the radar attachment. And he explains a little of how to use the weapons. Such as locking onto the monster with the radar before using the missiles, so he doesn't destroy more of the school.
Whoops.
A little bit
oh
of missile.
Oh my god, the radar locks onto things!
A little bit of missile spam later, and Kengo says to use close combat and swap the leg switch from launcher to chainsaw, which makes perfect sense.
I like chainsaw.
But after a few
Who
passes
doesn't
with that...
like chainsaws?
After a few passes of that lead to Gintaro taking some hits back, he goes back to Rocket to enhance his jump height so he can avoid the counterattacks. Then he decides to activate Switch 3, Drill. Kengo does not like where this is going, but Gintaro hangs up on him by deactivating radar.
Kengo won't have any Gurren Lagann references in his show.
And then somehow...
We should be so lucky.
Somehow, Gintaro figures out how to use Forza's super move, Limit Break, with Rocket and Drill. So, he goes
well,
to pierce...
Well, if there's a handle on it, he might as well tug on it.
The context.
So, Forza pierces the Zodiards.
With his drill.
Yeah.
Foot.
Like your Penis. Mom.
And the monster is blown up. While Forza spins around like a top because his drill leg is planted firmly in the ground and is still running.
That was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
The next leg attachment should be Sand Crab.
What?
Zoidberg
leg.
No, like Zoidberg.
Oh.
No, the guy you just imitated.
No, that's a Three Stooges reference, not a Futurama reference.
Futurama is cooler than Three Stooges.
I will come to this ocean and be upside your
I am going to kill you now.
Look at that, Razorsaw. You even got Fort Max pissed at you. I can't even hardly get that to happen.
Holy crap.
No, okay. I'm just gonna go and cry now, okay?
If you're, yeah, that's fine.
With Curly Joe, I'll allow that. Or even just like Mo, Larry, and Shemp.
Speaking of Three Stooges, I just dropped an X-Acto knife on my crotch. I'm talented.
Yeah.
Exacto knife in your pants.
Such is the power of space.
So, another strange switch lands a little ways from the explosion, and we cut to the obvious villain lair as a man with oddly glowing eyes is handling another switch, while more Zodiarts look on.
And apparently has taken Number 2's chair.
Back at school, Yuki and Gintaro celebrate, and Kengo arrives with the power geyser. Kengo helps Gintaro free his drill foot from the asphalt by picking him up with the exosuit, and then proceeds to throttle him mightily.
Like a British nanny.
To be continued.
The end.
Well, to be continued.
Oh, yes.
It actually said that in English.
Well, but since Japanese 5-year-olds don't speak English, I'm sure that wasn't very helpful.
Probably not. So that was the first episode of Forze.
It was okay.
In about half the time that Wingus took to relate
the
Gokai
Jutsu. It was awesome.
I'm entertained by it.
Gintaro is a bro.
Yes, he is.
Have we completely devalued the word bro yet?
No. Shut up.
Mickey, what did you say last week? Man bro?
No, dude bro. That's a pal.
Dude bro.
Said.
Okay, yeah.
Dude, I was a bra.
I'm just like saying, if Date is a bro and Ankh is a bro.
No.
Date
is not the bro. Goto is the bro.
Broto.
Ankh's an ass bird.
So wait. The antisocial jerks are the bros now?
He's making friends with everyone in the school. How's that antisocial?
He's very social.
We're talking about Goto and Ankh right now.
So?
How are they bros if Gintaro is a bro?
Because Gintaro is perfectly sociable. What's your problem?
Okay, they aren't, but they're bros. But Gintaro,
Goto got better.
Okay, what's Ankh's justification then?
He wanted
ice
cream.
An arm.
He's not. He's just an ass bird.
Ankh kind of has a hand up his ass.
He's a muppet.
Ankh is the hand up an ass.
Up his own, yeah.
No, he doesn't have an ass.
That's
he's
why
just an ass
so,
one.
That's
because
why he's so
he's
sad.
Dead.
Oh,
now we're sad.
Look what you did.
Yeah, what's wrong with
you?
We
had to kill the humor.
You guys made me sad, so I'm going to make you sad.
But it's funny when we make you sad.
Well, I think this is pretty damn funny.
Yeah, but you're not us.
Turnabout's fair play, guys.
No, it's not.
I don't know. I'm entertained. Right. I don't know about any of you.
Turnabout fair play.
This is now a podcast about Phoenix Wright.
Well, it'd be a nice break from the Pokemon, wouldn't it?
This podcast isn't full of enough yaoi fangirls to be about Phoenix Wright.
I know a few.
Oh my.
I know like 10.
So that was Forze.
Shall we break?
I hope Forze stays as entertaining, whatever else it happens to do.
You know what I noticed?
There's really no telling.
Well, there were 4 Zodiarts in the opening, but only 3 are hanging out around Mr. Needs Clearasil.
Yeah, I imagine Red Eyes is the 4th.
You think he's Scorpio?
No, I think he's the Red Eyes Blue Dragon.
But yeah, the Zodiarts that we've seen so far are Leo, Virgo, and Libra. Libra is the one that looks like an evil Alpha 5.
You mean a good Alpha 5?
Sure.
An entertaining Alpha 5.
But why hasn't Libra drawn a beard on anyone yet? Or glasses?
Yeah.
Well, he's only been in like 2 scenes, one of which was him and walking around with his friends in bizarrely out of focus camera
shroud
angle.
Shroud of vision.
Yes, in shroud of vision. After double, Shroud went into video production and created the new Kamen Rider series, Kamen Rider Forze.
Actually, after Double Shroud died.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what she wants you to believe.
It's in my headcanon that she is now Carmen Sandiego.
There you go.
Where in the world is Shroud?
Doesn't really have the same ring to it, does it?
Where in the world is Shroud Sonozaki?
No,
it still doesn't.
Works better than just saying Shroud.
Well, it would work better if Mickey was singing it. Because then it would sound funny.
You know what? You guys just don't appreciate how good I am at this.
That was pretty funny.
It's not me who's bad. You guys just think I'm bad.
I hear Razorsaw is very popular in Germany.
What?
You know, like Hasselhoff.
I am not David Hasselhoff. I'm nowhere near cool enough to be David Hasselhoff.
Okay, then you're considered a comic genius in France.
So he's Weird Al?
I was thinking Jerry Lewis, but...
Hey, lady!
Yeah.
Nice lady!
See, he even sounds the same.
Holy crap.
Well, yes, of course I do. I try to do an impression.
Like you're doing right now.
Does that mean no. I get to be Peter Lorre?
Ah, don't do that.
Okay,
if we ever need someone to pretend to be Cosmos, Wingus is our guy.
Oh, wait, I can do XP's mom. More food, more dicks!
Excellent.
Ow, that was Oh, wow.
Well, while Razorsaw tries to compose himself again, we're going to take a break and we'll come back to power playback in a minute. Yay.
Hey, everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. And do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, y'all, is Street Fighter 3.
It's time now for another Dynaman moment.
Your wheels are real cherry.
They're just like Dyna Pink. Oh, you bet.
How could you know?
Oh, kids.
How fast does she go?
Pretty fast from what I've heard.
We're not just talking about the motorcycle.
That's
either.
Not very nice.
Yeah, cut it out, you knuckleheads. Well, I'm gonna try this baby out.
Don't fall.
Don't worry, Doc. I'm much too good looking.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
Let's go.
Battle Bio, Crash Out.
Forza Man.
Yes, Power Playback this week was something else entirely. At Mickey's suggestion, we watched Bioman.
Because it's the best damn show ever.
For the man!
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 Man the four. Needs more Battle France.
We...
Everything needs more Battle France.
And Miss America.
No, Miss America.
Yes.
No.
Miss America is waiting in your closet for you to go to sleep. She's creaking the door open and peeking her head and looking at you.
She's in the cupboard.
I'm going to have nightmares.
No, man. Hitler's in the cupboard.
I'd rather deal with Hitler than Miss America.
Punch I was Hitler waiting for face. Hitler to come out of the cupboard that entire episode.
Razor saw. No, Doctor Who.
But you guys are doing it!
Do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah. We're not Razor Saw.
Okay, I talk about Doctor Who or I talk about Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, you don't.
You talk about Bioman.
Yes, Mickey, talk about Bioman for us. This was
all
your
right,
idea.
Bioman.
This was a fantastic idea, by the way.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, yes, in Antarctica, Dr. Shinigami is plotting to take over the world.
No, he's not Dr. Shinigami. He's Dr. Man. For the man!
For the man.
For the man.
For the man!
All right, so, Bioman. It opens up in the Arctic, as Razor Saw said, with Cyber Kabuki Ming the Merciless and his army of generals.
Sadly, the music is not performed. It's not written and performed by Queen.
We can pretend that it was.
For the man.
No, so, that would be Flash Man.
So he's got his squad of Mason, the boring looking guy, Farah, the chick, and Monster, the
the big guy
thing.
Monster, the only black man in Japan.
Was he black?
Not really.
Way to go, Razor Saw.
So, he announces his plan.
Can you guys please edit that part out?
No.
Nope. If it's embarrassing, it's staying in. You should know that.
I figured, but I had to try.
Okay, so Dr. Man announces his plan to take over the world because he's the smartest, which is pretty, you know, typical of
if
people
he's
named
the smartest,
Dr. Man.
Why is his face two different colors?
Because he's smart. His makeup will last twice as long that way.
Oh.
So, the story then cuts to the scientific capital of the world, Technotopia 21.
This honestly sounds like the name of a Power Ranger city.
Well, it's the most cutting-edge scientific city in the world.
It's New Tech City!
New Jack City? No, that's not really cutting-edge. So, meanwhile, in Technotopia 21, we immediately cut to a guy falling out of an airplane and getting shot with lasers.
Whee!
And falling. Bioman moves pretty quickly. It doesn't waste a lot of time with setup or characters. It just jumps straight into the shit.
Fortunately, his emergency chute opened just in time. So he's just fine.
Right. Around this time, a giant manta ray and boulder start attacking the city.
Yellow owl?
Possibly. So Mason appears on top of the skyscraper and summons the army of putties, or robot guys, to attack.
They're cogs.
Mecha
clones. Yes, the cogs. And so they do by machine gunning the f*** out of all these civilians, blowing big bloody holes in all of them.
For awesome. The man!
For the man!
Oh, old Toku, you are so...
Violent. Jesus.
I remember in like the first episode of Jetman or the second one where they pretty much killed a bunch of kids on their bikes.
Yeah, but they didn't do it with machine guns and blood and everything.
No, just tentacles that make you disintegrate.
That's not bloody violent death, though. That's just like, you know,
that's
horrible
hentai.
Death. Yeah, it's hentai.
Well, now we've reached into an area more awful than my assumption that Monster was black, so yay.
Oh, it just means that you've been reading too much fanfic.
Yeah, we talk about tentacle rape on the show all the time.
Hey, you were the guys who went to hentai, so I'm not the one who reads fanfic.
All right, enough of this shit. Because shit's going down in Bioman. Buildings are blowing up. And we're already getting the Megazord within the first damn 6 minutes of the show.
Cool.
And what does he do? He kidnaps the guy that fell out of the airplane.
Of course.
Whoops. And then walks away. He's not solving the problem of these buildings blowing up. He's stealing people with a giant prop hand.
A very familiar looking prop hand.
Yeah, that appears a few times more over the years. Or something very similar to it anyway.
Maybe, you know, like all these Sentai groups get, you know, like the same model hands wholesale from the same dealer.
It's like Gundam hands. They're all about the same.
Gundam hands are more detailed, though.
V-Crest, Saras.
So, the Bio-Robo goes around town stealing people from various walks of life. Car drivers, jet skiers, photographers, random bitches.
Flute players.
Yeah, flute players. People that play flute on rooftops.
You know, like, it's just so progressive how Pink is the only one who immediately faints.
Well, she's the girl.
Right.
What do you call Yellow, then?
Well, she's not a girl, that's for sure.
Yellow is April O'Neil crossed with Kaneda from Akira.
Just with smaller boobs.
Yes.
Well, she's Japanese. What do you want?
Ba-bum-bum.
So, Bio-Robo drops them all off in a forest somewhere.
This is the most un-PC podcast I've ever been involved with.
Yeah, it is.
Superhero time. It only goes downhill from here.
I think that's what I said in the second episode. Look how right I was.
So the Bio-Robo drops the crew off in the middle of the forest, and then they're greeted by Peebo, a sparkly gold C-3PO ripoff.
With a Kamen Rider head.
Not really.
She has the bug eyes, or he does, or whatever the hell.
It's more of a Death Star droid type of thing. So anyway, P-3BO tries to tell them what's going on, but then they're ambushed by more of these terrifying, violent cogs.
And then Yellow abuses her camera.
And breaks one of the cog's heads.
Yes, I can tell you as somebody who has nice cameras like that, you cannot use a lens that way.
They only survive through the power of their 70s hair.
Yeah, she smashes the shit out of that guy's face, leaving this terrifying skull thing from inside. And then they stagger after them like some kind of thriller video.
I just have... you really made a good point. I am going to be seeing the mecha clones' destroyed, shattered faces in my nightmares.
Success!
So Peebo cries out to them, use your morphers, to which they do. And then things get even more violent.
Those aren't morphers, they're not cell phones.
Quiet you. So they all go through the routine of, you know, henching and calling out their names. And then the ass-kicking begins.
At least they, you know, like, have an explanation for why they suddenly know all this stuff.
Yes.
It's their bio-brains.
They have instruction manuals in their heads.
Bio-brains. Isn't that like saying, wood tree?
No. No, it's not.
So they go around kicking ass for a while. And
but
then
it's like saying whore mom.
Peebo tells them to pull out their weapons, and the things get even more terrifying. As Red pulls out a sword and chops a cog in half, and then green blood oozes out of his decapitated head.
Well, you forgot the part where the sword was on fire.
I don't think we got to that part yet.
Didn't we?
It's Sentai. The red sword is always on fire.
Oh, okay. They pulled out their pistols first. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
But then he pulls out his big sword and chops a guy's face in half, and then he sets his sword on f***ing fire.
Yes.
Not
go.
Regular like fire.
Effect. No, this is, he's got a burning broadsword in his hand, and it's awesome.
You know, I noticed, you know, like, whenever, you know, like, they turn from guns to swords, they look even less like swords than usual.
Well, it's because the blades are, like, an inch long.
And fat.
Well, the short ones usually are fatter.
Well, yeah, I'm just
penises.
Saying... The Bioman swords look more like marital aids than they do weapons.
Penises.
For the man!
For the man!
So, once the Bioman get the cogs under control, then the big monsters show up and it's time for them to all hop into Bio-Robo.
You should, you know, like, name them, like, after a different mechanized cannon fodder each time you mention them.
It's easier this way and quicker. Yeah.
Cogs, Quantrons, whatever the hell they called them in SPD. So,
the big mecha hand comes, picks them up, and carries them to apparently an actual set they built the robot's chest with working doors, which is kind of nice.
The part I like is in the next episode, though.
And then they get into a fight, and the first thing they do is they get knocked on their ass, which sends Peebo flying across the room, showing that gravity does indeed exist inside Megazords.
Yeah, I'm not really in favor of that.
I rather like it. I thought it was fun to see, you know, the things. You know, if you tip something on a side, you're going to slide down the floor.
Well, that's usually why, you know, Megazords don't have people walking around inside them.
Except for the series is that they do, and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Shut up.
Oh, yes.
Well, okay, I think in Mega Ranger, Galaxy Mega actually has, like, a full crew inside, even when it's transformed into the robot.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, like the Delta base where they all go to safety areas.
Because what's safer than being inside a giant Megazord?
Yeah.
Well, I presume
it's not safer than all the buildings they're knocking down.
I always assumed that, like, the name of the SPD huge Zord was.
Do what now?
The one that, you know, like, was formed from their base, the Delta base Megazord. You know, like, they were all, like, running to the safety area so they don't get crushed inside massive gears.
You're drawing corn to you.
What? What? I'm sorry.
Okay. So, after the... deliver the obligatory sword power finish. They all head down to the street level, and Peebo and everyone starts hugging, except for Yellow 4, who says, "This shit, I am out. Peace." And she walks away. She wants none of this shit, because she's smart.
Yeah.
Broke my camera.
Except she didn't! That's what bothers me. If she would have busted the lens trying to fight with it... But no, this camera lens is just made of metal or something.
Misaligned my camera.
Well, here's the thing. Those are the mooks.
Yeah, but you know, when you're not transformed, they're supposed to be more dangerous. What was that?
Huh?
Sounds like someone kicked a puppy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
So in a nutshell, that's the first episode of Bioman. It's...
Yeah, I noticed something interesting. You know, like the robot that they fought at the end wasn't the same as the weird dragon thing they fought.
Well, no, they established that at the start of the episode.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's still a...
It's not a make my monster grow thing. It's a here's my giant robot thing.
Yeah, the monsters of the day in Bioman seem to be a little bit different in that the monsters of the day are always the big robots, whereas the street-level monsters seem to be a recurring cast.
That seems a bit weird.
Well, it was the 80s. What do you want?
Just a moment.
Quick, while he's gone. Next episode!
So, the next episode begins with the theme song, which is still great.
Battle Bio.
Crash Auto.
For the man.
For the man.
For the man!
Are you back?
For the man.
For the man.
Man okay, of four.
Late.
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep it down a little bit. So if I'm not audible, just tell me, okay,
we'll
guys?
Just pump up your microphone.
Don't worry. If you're not audible, we will just, you know, keep
we going. Will tell you.
No.
How do I sound now?
What?
How do I sound now?
What?
You're horrible, it's me.
But seriously.
You're fine.
You're fine. All good in the hood, G.
Okay. Episode 2 of Bioman begins with the remaining four Bioman who didn't quit practicing with their Zord jet things. To which Rick shows off because he's the only Japanese man ever to fly a space shuttle. Although we haven't seen him fly any space shuttles yet, but I guess that's beside the point.
Yes.
Oh, look, a actual aspect of character history.
Or something.
So let's find out what's happening with Yellow
Four. So they go off to go stalk Yellow.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're going to get her back on the team one way or the other.
They're not accepting her no for an answer. She will put her life in danger for them.
For the next, you know, 9 episodes.
They're going to befriend the shit out of her.
Why didn't you think of that when we were talking about Forze?
Because he's for Max.
So,
Fraser, sorry, you're not qualified to make those statements. Fort Max is above you, alarmingly.
Now you've just gone too far, dude. I've just gone too far.
Well, that took long enough.
Okay, so Dr. Mann is pissed off at Mason for screwing up last episode, so now he's sending out a different general, Farrah.
For the man?
For the man.
For the man.
For the man!
Farrah the man.
So,
actually, I was wondering about that.
So, Farrah and Sigourn, one of the sub-lieutenants or whatever, they come down to stalk Yellow Number 4. Because apparently everyone can find Yellow Number 4 at any time of the day. And the first thing Sigourn does is do some Benny Hill tricks with Yellow 4's motorcycle.
I was just going to say it needs the music overlaid.
Post-editing.
And then somehow he manages to throw her up against a cliff that is inexplicably in the middle of a city.
Yeah, no, wait a second. You're skipping ahead here.
Sorry.
Of course he is.
First, we have to get to the scene where Farrah asked 20 questions to Yellow 4. And Yellow 4 essentially says, screw you. I don't know shit. Leave me out of this. Farrah says, that's fine.
No, you.
You know, I really like Yellow 4.
Yeah, she's reasonable.
She's the only one who actually has a character so far.
Farrah says, that's fine, and then she sticks her battle lesbian on her.
So, is battle lesbian the name they use when they can't get the trademark on just lesbian?
Well, I mean, I think it's just sort of a standard term for any lesbian that wields dual nunchucks.
Oh. Gee, and I wonder what else those could be used.
Claws.
Yeah.
Maybe I do need to watch this.
But you didn't watch this?
I was not aware of that. I got asked to be on here like an hour before.
That's why he didn't know anything about Gokaiger.
No, I saw Gokaiger. It's just...
But you still didn't know anything about it.
I knew plenty. I just couldn't recall it.
Don't... Wingus, you should know better that actual information never stops XB from being cruel.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he's been on the show before.
I'm okay. Bickering with him for entertainment value.
Don't worry, I know.
So Battle Lesbian,
the only one who's out of the loop.
Battle Lesbian and Yellow 4 start fighting about a fountain. And you keep hoping they're going to fall in to turn into like a wet fight. But the closest.
Yeah, except that, you know, Yellow 4 is like wearing spandex, so that's not really going to help anything.
Yeah. But the closest you get is Yellow 4 throwing a handful of water in the battle lesbian's face, which is apparently very effective.
Well her name is Farrah Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, XV and I just had the exact same thought. I'm scared now.
You're scared? I just had the same thought as you. How awful is that?
I'm entertained.
So, seeing that the battle lesbian is
perhaps
ineffective.
XV, you and I are not so different after all.
Farrah
no,
seeks Sigourn after Yellow 4 with his telekinesis powers. But she lifts her up in the air, shakes around a little bit, and then slams her at about 1,000 miles an hour into a cliff face. And it's awesome.
That is inexplicably in the middle of a city.
I don't think the cliff face was ever actually there. I think that was just like psychic projection.
That's
just how quickly. Able to throw her.
That's how far and fast he.
Then why isn't every bone in her body broken?
Because she's Yellow 4.
She's infused with bioparticles. She's stronger than a normal human.
What I want to know, though, is if the cliff is actually, you know, somewhere and she got thrown into it, how'd she end up rolling back in the city where she started?
Bioparticles.
Oh, okay.
But
gotta love those magic particles.
Throwing into a cliff face isn't enough, because then Saigorn turns a blowtorch to her.
With his magical rotating face.
Yeah, his Quintesson head works.
Well, it's actually reminds me a little bit more of a Suramon.
No, it's Manny Faces.
Yeah.
Manny Faces never breathed fire.
He just never thought to rotate to that face.
But man, Triclops.
I make a reference that's actually relevant, and nobody knows it.
I'd make a reference to your mom.
Sorry.
No, that's actually true.
Your mom has Manny Faces?
God damn.
Your mom has a fire breathing face?
Know that you made a reference to her.
Oh.
Manny.
Yes. We're still not sure on who's your mom it is, but there we go.
Yeah, of course we're sure. It's your mom. Capital your, capital mom.
Right.
Is that her name?
Yes.
That or bitch, you know, whichever. The answers to both.
That's her middle name.
Or that whore.
That's her maiden name.
Your mom was
your mom is no maiden.
Not anymore.
Actually, you know, you don't even need to know her name. All you gotta do is, like, drop a nickel somewhere. And she'll come rolling right up.
Hang on, I have a nickel here. Let's test this.
So, I'm back go to yellow
a nickel
four.
Down the road later and see what happens.
So, appearing just in the time to keep Yellow from being barbecued alive is the Bioman team.
Yay.
So, they show up with their car they got from somewhere. I don't know. It's not really explained.
The ancient bio people made a car.
Yes.
A Mazda.
The ancient
bio people made a Mazda.
Yes, the planet Bio sent Mazdas to Earth.
Mazdas with police sirens on top.
Spinning police sirens, like radio dishes.
Those are light bars, not sirens.
Whatever.
Wee wee wee.
Thank you.
And now we're back to Ghostbusters.
But going back to Bioman...
Who are you going to call?
The team tries to convince Bio-Yellow that she should rejoin them. And she explains that, well, she wants to photograph African wildlife because her brother died.
Which is why she's in Japan.
And the team responds, well, I'm sure Peeba would understand such a kind-hearted feeling. Come with us. And she's like, okay!
Yeah, you like too bad the Bioman don't have like a jet that you know like fly through the air and take her to Africa.
Well, they got stuff to do.
Yeah,
for that shit.
For the man.
For the man.
For the man.
For the man.
So,
Doctor Man.
They take her into the base, which starts as a cave, and then it turns out into like a 70s love nest.
It actually looks sort of like the base from Battle Fever.
It does a little bit.
It is the base for Battle Fever.
What are the odds?
Just like the Jetman Zord cockpits and Megazord cockpits look suspiciously like Dinozord cockpits.
Yeah, how about that?
So they meet up with P3BO and he drops some exposition bombs on them. Namely, that this all started with the planet Bio. Which is
inexplicably a planet of robots named Planet Bio.
And it's also a planet of anime.
Yeah. It's a planet
of
map
paintings.
No, it's
a planet of map paintings.
It just looks anime. It's very Idion.
Yes.
Oh god, Idion.
Except there's no children being decapitated yet.
Is that the mecha where the universe blows up?
Something like that, yeah.
You'll have to be more specific.
We got a lot of new games coming out. Sorry, reference only I get.
That's fine.
So apparently Planet Bio blew up and there's evil out there, so Planet Bio infused Earth individuals with bioparticles.
Why? Because Earth is the most beautiful planet in the galaxy.
That's
with bright
right.
pink ninjas. That bright pink ninja was the best part.
Yeah, like straight out of Kaku Ranger.
No, that was a white ninja.
Straight out of Power Rangers Season 3, you mean?
Yes.
There you go.
You.
White ninja? You mean like the guys in Ninja Storm?
No, like in Three Ninjas.
You know, except for Shane and Blake.
And Cam?
And Cam, yes. I want Cam to come back.
No. Ninja Storm must never be revisited.
Besides, if one was going to come back, it needs to be Cyber Cam.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, the dude bro version.
Well, okay, let's compromise and let Cam and Cyber Cam come back.
That's not a compromise.
Why? We all get what we want.
Why can't we just have the Beetlezords come back and that's it?
I don't want regular Cam to come back.
Well, that's because you're a terrible person.
But it still means I'm not getting what I want.
I can't believe we were talking about an episode of Bioman. You people are talking about Ninja Storm. God damn you.
Well, hey, if I'm going to talk
about Razor Saul's fault.
It is Razor Saul's fault.
Yes.
If I'm going to talk about...
I blame Razor Saul.
If I'm going to talk about a show I don't like, you guys are going to talk about a show you don't like.
That's not how this works.
Except there's no good reason for you not to like Bioman. There's plenty of good reason not to like Ninja Storm, such as Cam.
Also, Ninja Storm.
I just think the whole thing just goes way too fast.
That's what she said.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew somebody was going to go there.
So is your mom.
Back in the real world. Pharaoh's cruising around an oil refinery in her battle jeep.
With her battle lesbian in the back.
Yes.
So does everything Pharaoh owns come with battle in front of it?
Yes.
Yes.
And I bet you she's playing some bitchin' hair metal on that thing, too.
Battle hair metal.
on her battle 8 track.
Dynaman. They just have the Dynaman soundtrack in there.
Yeah. And so they're going around using their psychokinesis amplification device to blow up oil tankers, which is pretty rad.
Yeah. I can dig it.
Better than one of Gil's plans.
Gil foresees this and just can't stand to see all these innocent oil tankers being blown up, so she decides, I'm going to join the team.
Poor oil tankers.
So,
what did they ever do to hurt anybody?
I know.
They know what they did.
They were born.
Yeah, I know what they did. They did your mom.
So the rest of the team transforms with more blue looking like he's mildly retarded. and they perform a pretty nice looking little battle pose. And then Yellow kisses Peebo on the cheek through her helmet. And they run off to the Bio Dragon transport vehicle. Which, conveniently enough, has mall escalators leading up into it.
That was the part I liked.
Yes. The Bioman go into their giant RV, which then flies away and starts blowing up starfighters.
I thought they were flying manta rays.
That was the monster of the week last week.
Oh.
I actually kind of like the Bio Dragon thing.
So do I.
When it transforms, though.
Oh, with how it unfolds into goes from RV to aircraft carrier?
Aircraft carrier, yeah.
It turns into the shield helicarrier.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it turns into an aircraft carrier even with the conning tower on the side. Which, yeah. You know, nobody would be in because nobody operates it.
Peebo's in it.
Are you Peebo, sure?
Peebo wants to tell you about the Avengers Initiative.
No, Peebo wants to tell you about the Transformers. But no, isn't Peebo back in the 70s love nest?
He gets around.
Peebo can teleport.
No, the 70s love nest is in the Megazord.
Well, then why do they need an escalator to get up in there?
Because escalators are stylish.
Because...
It is pretty convenient to have an escalator up into your transport vehicle.
Yeah, they don't have to jump or nothing. I mean, they can take it easy.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
So they head downtown to confront Farrah and her posse.
Her battle posse?
Her battle posse. And Battle Red, whatever the hell his name is, he decides to initiate the fight by punching a cog in the face and making it blow the f*** up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Dr. Man really, puts much quality control into those things.
Well, they're disposable.
And plus, they're up against the Biomen.
I mean, Abuera
put quality control into his robot.
Yeah, the Biomen are a particularly brutal Sentai group from their fighting style. When
well, that's okay, though, because it's just robots.
No, oh, yeah, but I mean, they don't just, like, you know, hack them. Like, they saw into their robotic jugular veins and smash their faces open repeatedly.
Yeah,
of course, they get the point to be question. Made.
I have a question. They're called mecha clones. What are they clones of?
People.
I was going to say mecha, but...
It's people. They're made of people.
So they dispatch the cogs, and Battle Lesbian comes back out to fight Pink. And she's got claws, honey.
Yellow before. Of course, you know, Pink's actually a girl, so she might stand a chance.
Yeah. But then Pink gets back up from Yellow, who floats down like a spiraling leaf.
Yeah, that looked kind of weird.
I assume that's bio powers.
I assume that was just, you know, crappy editing.
Well, yeah, that too.
Crappy editing is a bioparticle power.
So wait, their bioparticles turn them into Koichi Sakamoto?
If I knew what that meant, I would say yes.
Don't you be trash-talking Koichi Sakamoto.
Look, you have to admit he does a lot of really weird-looking wire-foo.
You mean really awesome-looking wire-foo. Go rewatch Double Forever right now. We'll wait.
Meanwhile, Saigon shows up with his telekinetic powers.
You said you'd wait!
Rule number one, we lie.
Rule number two, XB really lies a lot.
You just wanted to get rid of me.
Rule three, XB wants to get rid of everybody.
Okay, go on, Mickey.
Saigon goes about beating up chicks. Because, to be fair... He can. But then when the guys show up, he switches over to his flamethrower again because flamethrowers are awesome.
Yes, let's breathe fire at the red guy.
And
then
fire.
Saigon becomes lame by teleporting around like a little bitch.
And for some strange reason, Yellow creates a hologram that shows him doing something other than teleporting, but it allows Red to grasp the obvious for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, they start busting out all their super electron powers, which doesn't really hold together terribly well, but it all amounts to Red shooting him before he reappears.
Yes. With the power of his bio brain. Or something like that.
His super electron brain.
Why he didn't think to do that?
Yeah, that.
Do that to begin with, I don't know.
Because he wasn't using his super electron brain at that time.
So he needed his super electron brain and Yellow's hologram to make him realize that the guy who was disappearing and then reappearing elsewhere was teleporting.
No, what I was saying was he needed to use his super electron brain to know that he needed to use his super electron brain.
Okay, then.
See how much simpler that was?
Yes.
Simple isn't the word I would use, but yes.
Well, I used a lot less words than you did, so.
Okay, so. Battle moves along, then we get around to Megazord time, and we're fighting the monster of the day. Things go along pretty normal until the monster of the day's face comes off in a giant tentacle. It looks like Wheelie from Revenge of the Fallen, only on a tentacle neck.
Reminds me of that Zork guy from Yu-Gi-Oh!
If you say so.
You know, the guy with the dragon thing?
No.
You mean everyone?
That's my Willy, that guy.
Can you put "that's my Willy" as a quote somewhere?
No.
We'll figure something out.
Well, the Biorobos have none of that tentacle terrifying bullshit, so the first thing he does is he charges up his sword and stabs it to the monster's head, detonating the whole head and neck assembly.
Cool.
Oh no, how could he have ever realized that sticking my head out would be putting a critical part of my body at risk?
Well, apparently it's not that critical, because even without his head, the rest of the monster is still fighting. But Biorobo was badass enough to take care of it with this one more quick sword chop, so... The end. of that monster.
And you forgot, you know, how, like, they use Bio Revolver, which is a kick and nothing to do with a revolver.
It revolved when it was doing it.
That's not a, what a revolver is.
It is when you're in Japan and you're trying to speak English.
Touché.
So the Bio-Men come back down to Earth and celebrate with Peebo, who's falling down like a boob and being tossed up in the air like a pillow.
More useless than Alpha 5.
More endearing than Alpha 5, though. Alpha 5 is irritating. Peebo's kind of pleasant.
If you say so.
All four?
The man.
All for the man.
The man.
For the man!
I rest my case.
Well, at the very least, we get a rather amusing catchphrase from it.
What?
For the man.
Oh, that, yeah. For the man.
For the man.
In a nutshell, that was the first two episodes of Bio-Man. And
a lot happened.
Yeah. Bio-Man is not slow like many other old Sentais. It doesn't waste no time to get to the shit.
So, spoiler warning, in episode 10, this yellow dies.
Yes.
You've watched that, right?
I have, and it's hilarious. But apparently, Yellow's whole role in the series is to be a punching bag. Because in the first episode, she gets her ass kicked quite a bit here. And they even make a comment to her saying, you know, be careful or you won't live to be old.
Yeah,
it's
like, that was
funny. Damn, foreshadowing much. But so, you know, come episode 10, for whatever reason, the writers decide to kill her. And so how they decide to kill her is Dr. Man comes in with anti-bio particles, which he fills a Tommy gun full of. And they proceed to shoot her with lasers for 20 minutes straight, basically.
For the man.
She gets shot pretty much all episode long, and it's hilarious.
And he never thinks to use this weapon again?
No, they ran out of particles. Because they shot all of them at her.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah, every time they tried to shoot somebody, she'd run out and take the shot. And I think eventually realized, like, if I just keep taking all the shots, then the rest of them will be okay. And then she dies in costume.
The actress must have quit.
Yeah. Which, the funny
what?
Thing
you mean, so basically my entire role is to be beat up the whole time?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's what your role is.
Yeah, f*** this shit, I'm out.
So we've been recording for, what, 3 hours now?
Close to it, anyway.
Should we shoot for 4 next week?
I think it'll edit down smaller than that. This was not nearly such a tight show as last week's.
I'm sorry.
I'm not tight at all, like your mom.
Something like that. So,
all right, then.
So next week is nothing. Because we're not doing a show next week.
Hooray!
Just a moment.
Yes, Superhero Time next week is being preempted on account of sushi.
Okay. And anniversaries.
That's the plan right now, anyway. But mostly the sushi. On the show for the week of the 19th, we will be doing Go Onger Grand Prix 28.
Yay, Go Onger.
Because
damn,
we need
that
to make Ken...
is stuck in my head again.
We need to make sure that Ken watches some Go Onger.
Boom, boom, bong, bong.
Oh, I hate you all.
Itchy Nissan Go Onger.
I have a fork and I'm going to come through the internet and I'm going to stab you with it.
Well, despite your best efforts, guys, I had fun. Thanks for letting me be on the show.
And we had fun at your expense.
That's even better.
Everybody wins!
Except for the audience, and they always lose.
So is that it?
Yes, I believe that is our show for this week.
You are dismissed.
Thanks very much to our guest, Wingus, and Razorsaw was there, too.
Aww. You can't even give me a throw me a bone right at the very end, huh?
I threw your mom a bone.
Several times, in fact.
She likes to play fetch.
Thanks for joining us on Superhero Time this week. We'll see you next time.
Good night forever.
Bye-bye, everybody.
And Razor Saw dropped off. Oh, well.
Why couldn't this have happened earlier?
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Never going to get to be on the show again, am I?
You're not that lucky.
Consider it a blessing.
I want to be on the show again.
Oh, bless his heart. He doesn't understand yet.
Even I understand by this point.
The best part is when you understand what bless your heart really means.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.